Gospel's written in the 17th chapter of Matthew. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, led them up on a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun, and his clothes became as white as the light. Just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters. One for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." While he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them, and a voice from the cloud said, "This is my Son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified, but Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said. "Don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. As they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." The Gospel of the Lord. From God our Father, from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. I think I've done this question before, but I'm going to do it again this morning. How many of you, when you read like a novel or a biography, how many of you, you got to raise your hand and be honest on this one, peek at the back before you finish the book? You know, you look at the last page or 2 pages, you know, you just kind of want to get a little hint as to what might happen. Yeah. And some of you didn't raise your hand, and you do because you're just sitting there giggling and turning red. That's all right. I can't really admit that. I don't know why, but it's okay. But would you get a novel or a biography and just skip the first half of the book and start in the middle, even if you're a peeker? No, you wouldn't do that, because why? What happens if you do that? This is your turn. You don't know all the characters. You miss out on a lot of stuff, don't you? You miss out on a lot of information that really might be important. Well, sometimes when we take these little snippets out of the Bible to read on Sunday morning and we use them for the sermons, it's kind of the same thing. I was reading a different book, had nothing to do with this sermon today, but the guy said it's kind of like, he called it flannel graph theology, where, you know, you just get a little snippet of it. Sometimes you get the right stuff, sometimes you get the wrong stuff. But you miss what happens before or what happens after. And a lot of times, what happens before is really important for what's happening right now. And that's the case with the gospel lesson that we have before us today, the transfiguration of Jesus. What's happened before is really important as to what happens to Jesus, Peter, James, and John on the Mount of Transfiguration. So what we're going to do is we're going to kind of go back just a little bit, take a look at that, set the stage, and then we're going to see, what does that have to say to us today? So, we really need to go back to the beginning of the 16th chapter of Matthew. In the 16th chapter of Matthew, Jesus is getting ready to start his journey to Jerusalem. And he knows that his time's short, because when he gets to Jerusalem, he knows he's going to be arrested, he's going to be beaten, he knows he's going to be killed. And so, he doesn't have a lot of time left. And the one thing he wants to make sure of more than anything else in the world is that when he's gone, his disciples are going to carry on his work. That all this time that they have spent together hasn't been for nothing. And so one evening as they're sitting around the campfire after dinner, and they're just kind of talking with one another, he asks them a question. He says, "Who do people say that I am?" And one of them says, "Hey, you're John the Baptist. Oh, you know what I've heard? I've heard somebody say that you're Jeremiah. I know. I've heard somebody say that you're Elijah. Come back." So all these things are going on. And he gets to the real crucial part. This is like the 64,000. Actually, 64,000 wouldn't be, you know, they'd probably do the $64 million question now, right? What's the question? "Who do you say that I am?" And Peter instantaneously says, "You're the Christ, you're the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus says, "You're right." And then he goes into this little dialogue or monologue about how he's going to go to Jerusalem. He's going to be arrested. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be killed. And Peter is thinking to himself, this isn't making any sense. The Messiah is going to go to Jerusalem, and we know that when he gets there, he's going to throw out the Romans. He's going to throw out Herod. He's going to set up a whole government. After all, that's what all this kingdom stuff is that Jesus has been talking about, right? And because we've given up everything, we're going to get good places in the government. You know, vice president, secretary of state, secretary of treasury. We'll get palaces to live in, the best wine, gourmet food. The world's going to be ours on a platter. What are you talking about? Somebody's going to die. You can't die. I mean, that's just not in the plan. And so Jesus and Peter have this little argument in which Jesus puts Peter down. 6 days later, which is where we are now, Jesus takes Peter and James and John up on the mountain. And while he's there, he is joined by Moses and Elijah, and he is transfigured. He is transformed. He is changed. They see him in that moment in time in all of his heavenly glory. And what this is like the God's housekeeping seal of approval. They know that everything that he says has been true. He really is the Messiah. He really is the one that they've been looking for. Everything's going to turn out exactly the way that they think it is. It's kind of like visible proof of everything that he said. It's one thing to say, I'm the Messiah. I mean, anybody can do that, right? Just like, well, let's see. If Clark Kent walked up to Lois Lane and said, hi, I'm Superman, she'd go, yeah, right. But, you know, if he opens up his shirt, flies through the sky, bends a bar of steel, what is that? That's proof. That's it. Okay, Jesus says, I'm the Messiah. Yeah, okay. We believe you. We think. But here it is. Right there. Shirt comes open, big M on, no. You're the one. We know it now. And so they get excited, and Peter, who is just, you know, one of these foot-in-the-mouth, impetuous people. I really don't know anybody like that in my life, but, well, I don't know, foot-in-the-mouth I do, because I do that a lot myself. But anyway, he's got to do something. He said, I know, let's build, we'll build these little booths. We'll build like a, and I don't know, maybe he had the idea that later on they'd come back, make a little sign. This is the place where Jesus first revealed himself as the Messiah. Build a little monument. You know, I mean, after all, if you're a king, you got to have monuments around, right? And right in the middle of all this stuff, he hears this voice. Boom. Now, if you're standing on top of a mountain and suddenly a cloud envelops you and you hear a voice coming out of the cloud, what are you going to do? Run. They just dropped. They couldn't even run. They were too scared. Down on the ground. And this voice comes out. It's my son, whom I am pleased. Listen to him. And you see, I think that's really the main point of this story, those last words. Listen to him. Because they had all these ideas. They had all these plans. They knew how Jesus was supposed to act, what he was going to do, how he was going to do things. And basically what God is saying is, you're not in control. I think sometimes we need to hear voices like that every once in a while that tells us the same thing. You know, you're not in control. That's what it said. You're not in control. My son is. Forget all these visions, images, ideas, plots, whatever you've got going on, and listen to him. Now, the things that people can say many really impressive things in life. And Jesus said many, many impressive things. But usually the last thing a person says, those last words, don't we usually consider those the most important? Somebody's last words? So if we're going to listen to Jesus, then what we really need to do is listen to Jesus' last words. They're really important words, right? So what are Jesus' last words? Well, we've got them in two different places, one in Matthew, one in Luke, or in Acts. Luke wrote it, but it's in Acts. Matthew, Jesus says, "Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit." In Acts, the last words are these: "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." So what are Jesus' last words about? What are we supposed to be about? Go! Make! You are to be missionaries. You're missionaries. You ever think of yourself that way? Usually when we think of missionaries, where do we think of? Way out there. Someplace far away. But what Jesus calls us to be about is to be missionaries. To make disciples, to share the good news. One of the things that's happened with the church over the years is we've kind of lost that. We've given it to somebody else. And what we focused on is personal salvation and trying to make sure that we have our get out of hell free card. Really? Isn't that true? Well, what Jesus calls us to be about, those last words, those most important thing that he tells us, is to make disciples, to share the good news. We are not about being a defensive fortification in the middle of a world that's trying to knock us down. We are called to be a revolution, a revolutionary movement. What would have happened if the 12 guys would have just said, "Yeah, okay, I'll tell you what we're going to do. We're going to build a church, and y'all come." How far do you think it would have got? Not too far. What do we do today? We build a church, we put a sign out, and we say what? Y'all come. Well, how are y'all going to get here? Oh, I'm going to tell you how. You all. If y'all are supposed to come, you all are supposed to get them. That's what you're called to be about. You are to be a missionary. If the church, if the people won't come to us, where's the church go? The church goes to the people. And so how we live out our lives, what we do on a day-to-day basis, what we say, how we act, that's the church going out into the world. That's how we're missionaries. That's how we're missionaries. So what we need to be about is to reclaim the primary job that Jesus has given us. Okay, so this is it. This is just a new idea. Here's your assignment for the week. Maybe I ought to have you check in next week. Now, if I say that, you won't be here. Okay, here's your assignment during the week. What you need to do is this. find one person, one instance, one whatever, share the good news. I don't care how you do it. Buy somebody groceries, fix a flat tire, tell them about Jesus, give your pastor a free cup of coffee, whatever. Find a way. Share the good news. Reach out. Let people know. Let them know he's alive, he's well, and he lives in you. And that's better than all the sermons, all the words that can never be spoken. So, God spoke out of a cloud. This is what he said. Listen to him. Listen to him. Amen. So now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus.